Mark chapter 9 is where I'd like you to direct your attention today. And I want to read a story about another family who was experiencing pain in their house. Beginning at verse 14, I'm going to read down through verse 29 out of the New Living Translation. Please bear with me as I may make some comments while I'm reading that may not appear in the verse. Just, I'm emotionally attached to this passage as I've been reading it, so bear with me. Verse 14 says, "When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them." Verse 15 says, "When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him." "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. Verse 17 says, "One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, 'Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. And then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. Help us, Lord." So I asked your disciples to cast the evil spirit, cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus said, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. Verse 21, "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, 'if I can'?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said, "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed. The spirit screamed. The spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. And the boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" And Jesus replied, "This kind can be cast out only by prayer." It would be an understatement to say that this family, represented by this boy and his father, were living in a house of pain. They didn't just have normal pain. They had demonic. They weren't just dealing with financial problems or sibling rivalry or failure to communicate in the marriage and family hurt. They had a devil they were fighting. Yeah. And some of you do too. Your pain in your house is not medical. The medical was the fruit of this problem. This boy's pain was demonic at its root, and it manifested medically through seizures and convulsions and the inability to speak and hear, but at the root of it, it was a demon. And the reality is that there's somebody I'm assigned to talk to this week, and you're not just dealing with normal problems, you're dealing with a demon. It is an evil spirit. And that doesn't make you a bad person. That make you a bad person. Because evil spirits don't just go where they're welcome. They go where their agenda is threatened. Yeah. The reason why you're fighting a devil is because you're anointed. You can take this to the bank. Wherever there's a spiritual fight, there is an anointing. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. Wherever there is a spiritual fight, there is an anointing. The reason why there is an evil spirit you're fighting in your house is because your house is anointed. There's an anointing in your house. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You wouldn't be fighting that spirit if you weren't anointed. That's why you're in the fight. You pose a threat to the kingdom of darkness. That's why you're in the kind of fight. If you weren't anointed, you would have regular problems. If you weren't anointed, you would have normal problems like everybody else. But you don't just have normal problems. On top of the normal problems, you got a devil to fight. Yeah, it's a spirit. I mean, it's a spirit you're fighting against, and I'm on assignment to talk to you about it. Now, when you come to this passage, and this family has been fighting this devil for years, for some time, since he was a little boy, they have been fighting this. But on this day in this text, the pain came to an end. And I declare to you that for some of you, your pain is about to come to an end because God's going to show you how to fight. This ninth chapter of the Gospel of Mark has two extremes in it. First 13 verses paint one picture, and the verses 14 to 29 paint a different picture. So the first 29 verses actually paint two extremes for us. So for on the one hand, it starts off in verses 2 to 13 talking about Peter, James, and John joining Jesus on a pinnacle. They go to a place called the Mount of Transfiguration, and there they had the exclusive and esoteric experience to see Jesus transfigured right before their eyes. And here is Jesus receiving this Shekinah glory from God, and he begins to radiate before them. And while he is in that state, the Bible says Moses and Elijah are shuttled from eternity back into time, and they're standing there having a conversation with Jesus right in front of Peter, James, and John. Peter was so blown away by it, he said, "Lord, let's never leave here. Let's make three houses, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. It's good to be here." Like, it was an amazing moment. And then if that weren't enough, that Jesus transfigured before them, and Moses and Elijah are there having a conversation with Jesus. On top of that, a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from over the cloud was God the Father said, "Now this is my beloved son. Listen to him." What a moment. What a moment they are experiencing. And this moment happens against the backdrop. It precedes what I just read to you. It precedes what I just read to you. And verse 9 says, "But when they came down from the mountain." Yeah. Mark 9:9 says, "When they came down from the mountain." Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one direction you can go from a mountain, and that is down. I know you want to stay there, but mountains aren't meant to be stayed at. They're moments. You got to come down from the mountain. And I just thought I'd just drop by and let you know that on the other side of every mountain is a valley. You got to come back down into the valley. That is how life goes. It is the ups and downs of life. It is the teeter-tottering of life. It is the rhythm of life and the soundtrack of every life that you must have your ups and your downs. So don't think it's strange when you go through roller coasters like that. Don't think that anybody's picking on you. You can't stay on the mountain. The mountain is splendiferous. I don't know if that's a word. The mountain is spectacular. The mountain is magnificent. The mountain is awe-inspiring. The mountain is amazing, but you can't stay there. I need you to put that in the chat right now and say, "You can't stay there. You can't stay there." And since we got a few people here today, I need you to help me preach. Look around somebody and say, "You can't stay there. You can't stay there. You can't stay there." You got to go back down. You got to go back down. They go down into a place, and when they get to this place, they leave one place where there's peace and order, and they walk into a fight. Verse 14 says there was a big argument going on. They went back to where the other disciples were. So now here James, John, Peter and Jesus come into this scene where there's a crowd of people around the other disciples, and the disciples are having an argument with the teachers of the law, which are the scribes. And it is very interesting that they walk out of one scene that is blissful and into another scene that is painful. And when the Bible says, when the people in the crowd, verse 15, saw Jesus, they were so awe-inspired, they ran to Jesus. They ran to Jesus. They left the argument and ran to Jesus. They left the argument and ran to Jesus. That makes sense, because there is no argument more important than Jesus. In fact, one good way of ending an argument is turn your attention to Jesus. That's good right there. That was free. That was free. But here's my first point I want to give you, and that is Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming down off the mountain. Jesus is coming. I know the disciples couldn't get it done, but Jesus is coming. I feel like preaching today. I know there was a failure and there was an epic fail, but Jesus is coming. Somebody put that in the chat right now. Tell them Jesus is coming. In fact, I need you, since you're here, since you got in the building today and you got in here before we even open up, I need you to stand up. I need you to point at three people and tell them Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Help me preach this. I know you're off on Sundays. I know you don't work on Sundays, but I need you to put it in the chat right now. Tell somebody Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Devil, your time is up. Jesus is coming. You got to let go of what God's claimed. Your time is up. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. That's why the devil is getting scared. Let me let some parent know right now. I need to let some parent know right now. This is how you can know when Jesus is coming: when stuff starts getting worse. It's gonna get worse first. It's gonna get worse first, because the devil can hear him coming. The devil can hear Jesus' footsteps. That's what he can hear Jesus coming. He can hear Jesus coming. Do I hear footsteps? Do you hear Jesus' footsteps? Come on, special effects. See, when Jesus was coming, the devil could hear in the spirit where Jesus is coming. He hears in the spirit realm Jesus is coming. And when Jesus is coming for his people, it's a time of celebration. But when he's coming and the enemy's moving, it is a time for intimidation. The devil knows that Jesus is coming. Somebody just give God a praise right now that he's en route. I don't have his ETA. I don't know what time he's going to arrive, but I'm telling you, he's on the way. He didn't give me this word because he's playing games. He's on the way. And when he gets there, he's going to turn your whole situation around. He's coming to change it. He's coming to take over. He's coming to take authority. Somebody give God a praise, because I've been in pain a long time, but Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's en route. He's on his way. He's moving. Somebody give God a praise, because he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming and coming. He's coming. And when he gets there, watch what he does. He says, "What's all this arguing about? Why are you arguing?" And a man steps out of the crowd into the situation and says to Jesus in verse 17, "I brought my son here, and I was hoping you would heal him." Yeah, my first point was Jesus is coming, if you didn't get that. Here's my second point. It is effort fatigue. Effort fatigue. He says, I brought my son here, Lord, and I was hoping you would heal him, but you weren't here. When I came to you, but you weren't available. You were somewhere else. And so I asked your co-pastors and your staff to do it, and they couldn't do it. And Lord, it's been like this a long time. God sent me to talk to somebody who's been dealing with something a long time. And when you're dealing with something a long time, it makes you tired. You're tired because you've taken this You've taken this person a lot of places. You've gone to see a lot of people about this. And I tried this, and I tried that, and I tried this, and I went to that place, and I paid for this support, and I went to this specialist, and I went to that place, and nobody had a solution. And so, Lord, I'm a bit fatigued. That's why his faith was wavering, because what you feel emotionally can impact the way you believe. And so your faith gets tired, and your body gets tired, and your mind gets tired, and he's fatigued because he's tried so many things. And some of you have tried praying, and you've tried spending money, and you've tried counseling, and you've tried techniques, and you tried protocols, and you tried everything, but you still got that same thing that you're fighting. You still got that same spirit that you're fighting against. But here's the good news. When he says to him, watch this in verse 17, he says, the condition of my son is that he can't even talk. That's tough right there. This evil spirit is preventing him from talking. And then it controls his whole body. It throws him to the ground. It's taken over his whole body. He's unable to speak. And Jesus, watch this, he says, I asked your disciples to fix it, and they couldn't. And Jesus says in response, he says, bring the boy to me. In verse 19, he says, bring him to me. Bring him to me. That's my third point. Bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Tell somebody, bring it to Jesus. You got to bring it to Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Bring it. He says, bring it to me. Bring it to me. I want to ask you a question because this might seem offensive to you. You might feel like I'm not, this is trite, but I need to ask you a question, and that is, the pain that you're dealing with in your life and in your house, have you brought it to Jesus? Now, you might say that goes without saying. I'm not saying I don't believe it goes without saying. Have you really brought it to Jesus? Have you really submitted it to him? Let me do a case study with you right now. I'm gonna do a case study with you right now because I'm gonna prove something to you, and I'm gonna need you to talk in the chat to me. I want you to be honest about this for a second. Here's what I want you to answer. Here's the question I want you to answer, and I want you to be honest about it. When you have a problem in your life that is painful or difficult, whatever the problem is, whenever you're dealing with something that is painful or difficult in your life, here's what I want to ask you. When you, outside of praying to God, what do you turn to, or who do you turn to when you're dealing with something that's difficult or painful? So I want you to type it in chat. What do you turn to outside of prayer? What else do you turn to when you're dealing with something difficult and you're dealing with something painful? Just be honest. Okay, I'll start. Whenever I have a strange pain in my body, and when you get older, stuff starts hurting, you don't even know why it's hurting, I always go to YouTube to study what is this part of my body hurting and what we're supposed to do about it. YouTube is one of my go-tos. Somebody say my own thoughts, right? Own thoughts. I need to write that down. Okay. Did you go in with your own thoughts? Somebody said they go into silence. Somebody say they call their sister. All right, praise them. My husband, I go to my doctor. I see you. My girlfriend, glory. Close friends. I guess somebody said they get dessert and food. Come on. See, that's my church right there. I go to a therapist. I go. Somebody said cigarettes. All right, we're going to put cigarettes on there too. Calm my nerves. I'm gonna be straight up with you. I'm going to smoke. My small group. Somebody said WebMD. My doctor. Did I put doctor down? So some people go to Google. I see.